be seated. I welcome you as your priest in charge for the last time this morning. This is my last of 7 Sundays. Next Sunday, our new rector, Michael Bruce, will be with us. In fact, he's hiding out in the congregation this morning. He's down there. Wave, Michael. There he is. He actually starts in his job on Tuesday, and he's anxious to start, as you can tell, because here he is. Anyway, it's been a pleasure to serve you these last 7 weeks, and I look forward to returning to the pew and sitting there with John. Lemonade after the service on the lawn. You're welcome to join us, please, after the service. Thanks to Ralph Thorne and to Paul Grambo for sharing their gifts of music with us this morning and helping to lead our worship. Barb and Jim, our wardens, have something that they want to say to us.
Can we welcome our newest member, Jake? Jake, here. Oh, yes. Wave, Jake, wave.
Good morning. Barb and I are pleased to welcome you here this morning. We trust that you are enjoying the splendid August weather, and we're glad that you could attend St. James Westminster. Right off the bat, a pair of glasses were found last week in the parking lot. The Lord was looking down. They're not squashed, but they're prescription glasses. We'll have them on the side if you're missing. We're anticipating having Reverend Michael Bruce as our new rector lead our service next week. We have been very fortunate that Reverend Adele Miles agreed to lead us the last few weeks. Reverend Miles, it has been a pleasure to have you. Your sermons and... Your sermons and your ministry is just what we needed. Thank you, and please allow us to show our appreciation. Everyone, enjoy the service. Thanks.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of 1 Kings. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place, Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to one known to us as Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please be seated. Elijah was having a really bad day. The day had started out pretty well. With God's help, Elijah had won a contest against the prophets of Baal. Because of that contest, the people of Israel had turned back to the Lord their God. That was a pretty good thing. Then Elijah had announced God would bring rain to end the famine in Samaria. Another good thing. Then he confronted Ahab, king of Israel, the one who had got the people of Israel into the mess they were in the first place. That's when things really went south. You see, Ahab's wife Jezebel was a worshiper of Baal. She had already massacred pretty much all the prophets of Israel. Those who were left were in hiding. That's where Elijah was too. Until today, that is, when God said to him, "Go find Ahab and I'll end the drought." Jezebel was none too pleased that Elijah was back and that he had defeated the prophets of Baal. Now, more determined than ever, she was after Elijah's head. So Elijah headed back into hiding. This time, though, he was pretty dejected. Life was a mess. Spinning out of control, chaos all around him, he wasn't up to the task. He was no Moses, it turned out. So Elijah ran away and hid in a cave, done with all this prophet business. The thing is, you can't hide from God. God found Elijah hiding in that dark place. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God said. "Why are you here?" "I'm here because of my passion for you, O Lord. However, that hasn't won me any friends. The people of Israel, your people, have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death. I am the only one left, and they want me dead, too." So God invited Elijah to come a little closer so he could draw life and strength through an even closer encounter with God. Elijah didn't budge. The cave felt dark and safe. He was fine where he was, thank you very much. That's when a mighty wind whipped around the mountain, smashing rocks. An earthquake followed, shaking Elijah to his very core. Then fire raged all around him. Still, Elijah didn't budge. Then something different. The sound of a whisper in the silence. The gentle cadences of Yahweh's whisper. Elijah was intrigued. He wrapped himself in his cloak and crept out of the cave. That's when God gently shared a new plan for Elijah. A plan offering a new sense of vocation, a new direction, life in place of death and despair, a new hope. The cave on that mountain turned out to be a thin place where the distance between heaven and earth collapses and we're able to catch glimpses of the divine. It was a bit like that for Peter and the disciples too. There they were doing what Jesus had told them to do. Their boat was already some distance from shore when the headwinds got so strong and the sea got so rough, they feared for their very lives. That's when Jesus came to them, walking on the water. Not what they were expecting. Things aren't always what they seem in those middle hours, those middle watches of the night. They thought they saw a ghost, which did nothing to calm their fears. In the darkness, Jesus spoke softly to them. "Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid." That's what inspired Peter to hop out of the boat, excited to get closer to Jesus. If Jesus was there, that was all that mattered. He could do this. All was not lost. Then, of course, reality hit. The wind was still crazy, and the waves way taller than Peter, which meant Peter lost sight of Jesus. And that was enough to sink him. Peter may have lost sight of Jesus, but Jesus never lost sight of Peter. Jesus reached out and caught Peter by the hand, at once calming the wind and the sea so Peter could once again focus on Jesus. Elijah didn't expect to meet God in the silence outside his cave. The disciples didn't expect to meet Jesus in their little boat so far from shore. Yet they all found themselves in a place where heaven and earth came closer. I'm thinking none of us are strangers to really bad days. We've all experienced the storms of life, winds strong enough to stop us in our tracks, waves high enough to capsize our boats. Sometimes life can be pretty overwhelming. Just because we are Christians doesn't mean that we are immune to the stress and the chaos of life. The good news is we're not without resources. When life gets hectic, overwhelming, God still seeks us out, whispering to us, reminding us to focus on Jesus, who calms the winds and the waves, who keeps us from sinking. Sometimes it can be hard to hear God's whisper. Life can be so hectic, so noisy, we can't even hear ourselves think, let alone God's whisper in our lives. There's some things we can do to help with that, though. We can follow Jesus' example and step away even just for a moment to practice paying attention, to draw closer to God in silence. Jesus did that all the time. He regularly went off alone to pray. In the midst of his busy ministry with crowds always around him, it would have been easy for him to forget himself and lose touch with God. Jesus knew that. So he deliberately took time off and time away, just himself and God, listening, being filled, nurturing a still center within himself, a wellspring of life. Setting aside time to worship as we do on Sunday mornings is a great place to start with that. But it's not enough to sustain us through the week. Taking time each day to sit in God's presence, to read Scripture, to be still and know God, builds resilience in us, nurtures our still center. From time to time, longer periods of silence might be helpful. Quiet days, maybe, or silent retreats, even. These are some ways that we can keep focused on Christ and deepen our connection with God, who is always seeking us out. There are some wonderful places in our Anglican communion where we can experience the healing silence of retreat. St. John's Convent in Toronto, home of the Sisters of St. John the Divine, is one such place. I would even call it a thin place. The sisters offer a wide range of opportunities and resources and mostly hospitality. Spiritual directors to guide our journey, a wonderful library of great books. They even have a labyrinth in their garden for prayer pilgrims to walk. I'd be happy to talk more with any of you who might be wondering how to begin. Saints from every age saints like you and like me have drawn strength to live life to the fullest in God's service through these practices. Elijah and Peter and the other disciples found themselves strengthened and renewed in God's presence, and we can be too. God's whisper in the silence has the power to turn a bad day around and to shape our lives with grace, filling us with new life and new hope. For life is much easier to navigate with God at the center, whispering into the silence of our listening hearts. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in our faithful God, let us pray. Faithful God, we pray for the gift of deeper faith in you, so that we trust you in a way that alters our dependence on everything else and allows us clearer vision as to the direction and role of the church. Remind us that it is your church and not ours, your work, your power, your kingdom. We give you thanks for Michael Bruce, and we pray for him as he begins his ministry amongst us. Lord our God,
let only your will be done.
Faithful God, as we call to mind the stormy areas of our world, the raging and the insecurity, the confusion and bewilderment, the restlessness and fear, let your calming and reassuring presence be sensed and recognized, bringing peace, goodness, righteousness, and hope. Lord our God, let only your will be done. Faithful God, come to us in the storms of life when we let one another down, mishandle opportunities, and come to the end of our strength or patience, and bless us with the love that never lets us down. Lord our God, let only your will be done. Holy One, the needs and concerns of all who suffer are our concern. We stand alongside them in prayer and remember especially Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Christine Scott, and Tom Burrell. Lord our God, let only your will be done. Faithful God, we place into your loving keeping all those who have died, knowing their dependence on you and your limitless mercy. Today we remember Tracy Gritt's father, Patricia Van Rienen's father, Wayne McPherson's son, Stuart. We thank you for them and their gifts to this world, and ask that we may in our turn come to you across the waters of death and live in your company forever. Lord our God, let only your will be done. Faithful God, whose promises stand sure forever, we thank you for your patience with us and your refusal to give up on us.
Merciful Father, we ask that you accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. This day, and grant that in this Eucharist we may be enriched by the gifts of the Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Jesus, the seed of the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now may God the Creator grant you the grace to see yourselves as God made you. God of love, grant you the grace to value yourselves as God values you. God of life, grant you the grace to dream God's purpose for you and the courage to live that purpose from the depths of your being. And the blessing of God, Creator, Lover, and Giver of life, be with you and those whom you love and care for this day and forevermore. Amen. In the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve your God.
Thanks be to God.